It's a great cover for me to introduce Rav Yaakov Ruben Shlita, who's a Rav in a large shul in Edison, New Jersey. He's a member of the Vada Kashrus of that area in New Jersey. And he, in the OU, he's the executive rabbinic coordinator. And he is responsible for much of the high level that OU Kashrus is on. He's involved in many projects. Right now, he's involved in a project of editing and writing on each industry of the OU, all the psukim and all the halacha lemaisa ways that each industry is run, what the practical issues are, and what the halachic psukim of the poskim of the OU, including, of course, Rav Belsky Shlita. Instead of having that as Torah Shebal Peh, it's being put into Torah Shebiksav, and if I understand correctly, it's going to be made available also to other agencies who learn from the OU of how it's supposed to be done properly. So without further ado, I'd like to call Rav Yaakov Ruben to speak about a very timely topic, Chometz She'Avro Lav HaPesach.
Thank you, Rabbi Grossman, and I have to give a tremendous yishpach to Rabbi Grossman for coordinating not only this program, but not only the other programs in Torah V'Das, but programs throughout America. He's a powerhouse, and he always does a great job with attending to every single detail, and I appreciate when he first approached me, I was reluctant to undertake such a topic. And he sort of like pressured me a little bit, but now that it's done, I appreciate his efforts. I want to thank also Rabbi Akiva for coordinating the Torah V'Das. For me, it's a very big covet to be in Rabbi Belsky's shiur room, to stand in front of Rabbi Belsky's desk. I never formally attended Rabbi Belsky's shiurim, but I'm certainly a Talmud of Rabbi Belsky in the sense that Rabbi Belsky has been with the OU. I think it must be close to 20 years, and I've discussed numerous topics with him in depth, and Rabbi Belsky, together with Rabbi Schachter, who are the postman for the OU, have really, they established the direction of the organization. It goes without saying that everything we do in Kashrus, the backdrop of everything is halacha, and that's the framework for everything that we do, and Rabbi Belsky has been a tremendous force in guiding the OU and guiding those of us that work in the OU. And for me to be able to address Rabbi Belsky's Talmidim is a very special honor and covet. As a member of the OU staff and also as a practicing rabbi, I have a shul in Edison, New Jersey, this time of the year, I think the most prevalent shailos that I have to deal with are issues that are related to Chometz She'Avro Lav HaPesach. The Chometz She'Avro Lav HaPesach is a very broad area because it touches on a lot of different mitzvahs in Torah. It certainly draws from all the halachas, even though it deals with after Pesach, but in order to... watch the wire. In order to deal with Chometz She'Avro Lav HaPesach, you have to know Hilchos Pesach, so it draws from all our office of Hilchos Pesach, and there's other areas of Torah and Halacha that it draws from as well. So, and it's there's a lot of practical hands-on issues that come up. I prepared for you Mar Mikalmos because I'm going to quote a lot of different sources as we go along, and instead of you having to write down the sif and the sifat and everything, so you'll have it here on the page, and you could focus rather on the content. Chometz She'Avro Lav HaPesach is the starting point is the sugya of Sofim and Daf Bafes. Gemara has a machlokes. Rabbi Yehuda holds that Chometz She'Avro Lav HaPesach is a lav. Rabbi Shimon holds that it's also midrabanan. We pass in like Rabbi Shimon that it's also midrabanan because of a knas. There is a shaila about Sufik Chometz She'Avro Lav HaPesach, which we'll see is a very relevant and important shaila. If you have a Sufik, if something is Chometz She'Avro Lav HaPesach, you're not sure who the owner is. Is the owner Jewish? This comes up all the time with supermarkets. Is the owner Jewish? Is the owner not Jewish? What's the halacha So Pashtus, you would say that it's a Safek Rabbanan. So you would say Safek Rabbanan Lukula. But the fact is that there are poskim that hold, and it's coming on how you learn the places in Erevin. There are poskim that hold that Safek Chomashova Pesach is Aser Ba'achila. And apparently that's because since it's a Knas, so those that hold that it's, that you don't say Safek Rabbanan Lukula, they hold that they were, that Chazal were more Machmir on Chomashova Pesach than on other Isuri Rabbanan. The Mishnah Brura brings both dais. He brings in Tuf Mem Tes. He brings in Machlokes that the Bach and Kor Chayim, the Magen Avraham are Machmirim. The Chok Yaakov and the Harsham, the Magen Aleph, the Beis Meir are Mekilim. The Mishnah Brura sort of leaves it at that. He doesn't. He's not Machriya in this Shiloh, but the Safik Chamashova Pesach is Mutter or Aser. Rav Moshe has a Tshuva in Or Chayim Chedav Tzim Tzadik Vav, where Rav Moshe says that if you were purchasing chametz from a Jewish store that sold sold the chametz, and even though the store sold the chametz, Rav Moshe makes it clear that the mechira does not help for the chametz that's acquired on Pesach, because you can't sell it over Shulov Olam. It only helps for the chametz that they have it after Pesach. So it comes out after Pesach. If you walk into the store, part of the stock is the product that was there before Pesach, part is there was there on Pesach. So at that point, Rav Moshe says you can't purchase in the store, because very likely the majority of the product is product that came in on Pesach. After Pesach, so then the scale begins to be tipped. So Rav Moshe says when you're certain that there's at least a Safek Hashakol, that there's as much product that came in after Pesach as on Pesach, so then Rav Moshe says that you could purchase the chametz because it's a suffix. So it's clear from Rav Moshe's tshuva that Rav Moshe felt that the Ikar Halacha is that suffix chametz of a Pesach is mutter. Chametz of a Pesach is aser b'handar. It's not only aser b'achil, it's aser b'handar. Now, let's say a person buys chametz of a Pesach. I get this question all the time. Person calls me up, they made a mistake, they went to the wrong supermarket, they bought 32 boxes of Cheerios, they thought it was the kosher supermarket, or the one that sold this chametz, it's not. Are they allowed to return the chametz? So, Hayyos, the chametz of a Pesach is also Bahana, so the pashtus is you can't return it, because when you return it, it's a new exchange. You're getting money back for the product. And therefore, since it's Asher Bahana, you would not be allowed to return it. You also could not give it to a guy. Let's say you wanted to give it to a cleaning person that comes to the house. You couldn't give it to that person because Mimanashos. If you have no Tavis Hana, so there's an Isser of Los Chanein. You can't give a gift to an Akum. If there is Tavis Hana, so then you're having Hana. So either way, since it's Asher Bahana, you would not be allowed to either return it or give it away. You just have to throw it away. By the way, I should have said to begin with that I'm not a Pesach. I'm not saying anything halacha maisa. I'm sharing with you my own impressions of the sugya. Many of the things that I'm sharing with you I heard from Rabbi Belsky, but I just want to make that clear that I personally am not a Pesach, not a Rabbi Lukach. In any event, so I discussed this with Rabbi Belsky earlier this week, and I asked him, is it possible? I saw on the Star K website that Rabbi Heinemann is quoted as saying that you could return Chametz of a Pesach because it's treated as a Mekach Tois. I didn't understand why it should be a Mekach Tois. I didn't have an opportunity to speak to Rabbi Heinemann. I'm sure Rabbi Heinemann has a Cheshbon. He's an Oven Gadol. I did discuss it with Rabbi Belsky. Rabbi Belsky, what I had thought it was in line with what Rabbi Belsky said, and that is that If the person deceives you, if you go into a Shomer Shabbos store and you tell and you assume that the person is getting product that's not Chametz Shabbos Pesach, then you discover that he deceived you and he misrepresented it and he bought it from a distributor that's Jewish, that didn't sell the chametz, so then you could say it's a Mekach Tois. If it's a Mekach Tois, that's not called that you're getting hanoah from the chametz, because there's no new transaction. You're just getting your money back that was really never belonged to the other fellow, to the maker. But if you go into a supermarket, and such as let's say a Pathmark, which we'll talk about later, where there's an issue of Chametz Shabbos over Pesach, then nobody's deceiving you, nobody told you anything. So even though you were ignorant of the halacha, it's hard, at least for me, it was hard to hear that it should be called Mecca Toy. So Rybelski agreed with that, but I didn't have a chance to ask Rabbi Hyman, and apparently he is of a different opinion. Chamashav of HaPesach, there's a shayla in the, there's a lot of discussion about Chamashav of HaPesach where the Isser Ba'ira was only Drabanim. There's many things that are where there's a tea of beer, the rice on Pesach. And other things, Isser Ba'ira and the tea of beer is only Midrabanim. In the Mishnah Berurah in Siman Tav Mem Beis Katan Aleph, it's Mechur, that if the Isser is only Midrabanim, then there's no din of Chametz of HaPesach, because the Knas was only when you're dealing with the Isser Daraisa. So an example would be, for example, Chametz on Pesach is also a mashal. A little drop of Chametz fell into a pot of soup, so the whole soup is Osir. So even though it's Osir on Pesach, it's only Osir Midrabanim, because Midrabanim Chametz is both of B'Shishim, and nonetheless, so since it's only Osir Midrabanim, after Pesach, the Chametz Shavu at Pesach, after Pesach would be Mutter. That's what it says in Mishnah Berurah, and the Steif Hemed in the Mareches Chametz Matzah Simetes Ois Yud makes the same point as well. Many of the Ephraim make the same observation. If a person made Bittul, so you would think that if that's the case, then it's also only us Midrabanan, because it's all Midaraisa Bittul is sufficient. Midrabanan, they required the beer after Bittul. So the Shulchan Aruch Lo in Siman Tav Mem Ches Pei states clearly that Chametz of Yom Mevatel is still also after Pesach, and that's because they didn't want people should go around being Mevatel and then keeping their Chametz. So therefore, Chazal, even in such a even though it's only Yosef Mizrabanan, where there's Bittul, still Chametz Shavuot Pesach is also. Where the person made a Bittul and a Bedika, so then there's already a Shail and the Toskin, then maybe you say the person did everything he could do. What should he have done? He made Bittul and made Bedika, so why should he cancel him? So Machlok is Ephraim, Mishnah brings in Sukkot and Kafe, he brings two days. One day holds it's also Bafil, the other day holds that it's, apparently everybody holds also Bafil, but there's one day that holds Mutter Bahnov and Machlok Hefsid Mubin, the Mishnah Berurah is Mekel. If the Chametz is a Maimid or Avida Lataima, so even though Midaraisa a Maimid is Batal, and then Avida Lataima is Batal, Midaraisa is Langanus Midarbanan, but the Mishnah Berurah says, in Siman Tav Mem Beis Katan Tov Zayin, that there would be a din of Chametz Shavu Pesach, although he's Mekel Rabbi Hanav the Machlokes Hefsid Merurah. And the most interesting case of Chametz and Tzatzim Midrabanan, whether there's an Isser of Chametz Shavu Pesach, is we have less than the Kazayis. You know that there's a big Machlokes in the Achronim. Whether there's an Isser, whether there's been a Chatzi Shear by Bali Ra or Bali Matze. Various reasons in that kind of Shabbos. Sorry, he has a Svara, the Chatzi, and others. The Machlokes Achronim and Apaiskim, whether Prophetsim Mikashir or Prophetsim Kazayas, whether there's an Isser of Bali Ra or Bali Matze. Mishnah Berurah seems to be the Paskin like the Mekilim, and therefore from Mishnah Berurah in Tav Mem Beis Katan Aleph, it appears that he holds that if you had less than the kazayas of chametz on the Pesach, then there would be no Isser, no din of chametz shavar alav haPesach. The Rav Shulchan Aruch in Tav Mem Beis in the Kuntres Arachim Sukkot and Tes says beferes that even chatzis shear, it's only yosim midrabanan, nonetheless there would be a din of chametz shavar Pesach. And I found the Zaynish in Siman Kuf Tezayin Sukkot and Tes that also passes the same way. But the Mishnah Berurah, if one wants to rely on Mishnah Berurah holds that if it's less than the Kazayas, there's no din of Chametz Shalom HaPesach. So the practical application that would be, if you wanted to buy, let's say you bought some kind of candy bar where there's a small amount of cake in there, and it's less than the Kazayas, so if you hold like the Mishnah Berurah, then unless the Kazayas, there's no din of Chametz Shalom HaPesach, it should be permissible to purchase it. But for many years I've had a suffix, and I discussed this with Rybelski this week. He was masking to the Shaila that Mishnah Berurah says that if you have small pieces but there's zero kli, they're in one kli together, so then it's considered to be like you have a kazayas, and it would be the nechama shalav Pesach. Now, in the supermarket, they don't buy one chocolate bar at a time. It always comes in a pallet or a box. So if it arrived on Pesach in that form, so then l'chayra, you should say that the box is mitzarif the different pieces. Licorice has flour, although I don't know, could be licorice has more than a kazayas of flour to begin with. I'm not sure what the percentage is of flour and licorice, but that would be an example. So if it is less than a kazayas, but nonetheless, but it doesn't come in individual pieces, it comes in a large box. So I asked Rebelsky, would you say that the fact that each package is in a separate container, would you say there's a hefsek kli, and therefore the namastar? If you thought, Rebelsky told me he thinks that it definitely would be mitzurah, because the you wouldn't say hefsek kli in such
Rebelsky's
halacha. It would be mitzurah. So therefore, he thought I was correct, that if it comes in a box, in a large box, but there's a bunch of smaller boxes, there would be tziruf, and therefore the Kuliyama, there would be a din of Hamashal of a Pesach. Although I did find on the Star K website that they say that if there's less than a Kazayas, then there's no din of Hamashal of a Pesach, but maybe they're not addressing the issue in the way I'm presenting it. Now the question is, what type of chametz, or which products present a, and this is on a practical level, which products are chametz shavu pesach? So obviously we all know the cookies and the crackers and the pretzels is going to be chametz shavu pesach. What about products that contain alcohol, that contain vinegar? Vinegar is made from fermented alcohol. There's various ways to produce alcohol. There's the most common is there's corn alcohol, and then there's grain alcohol. Grain alcohol could be from wheat. So you take the alcohol and you ferment it, and that becomes vinegar. So are you allowed to buy products that contain vinegar after Pesach? Is there an issue of chametz shavu Pesach? So it really depends on where you're asking the question and where you're buying the product. If you wanted to buy it in America, right of the alcohol in America is kitmias. Right of the alcohol in America is corn derived. And therefore, you can go bust it right, and there would not be an issue of chametz shavu pesach for products that contain vinegar in America. So things like pickles and olives, salad dressings, ketchup, mayonnaise, mustard, they would not have an issue of chametz shavu pesach. Those people who are mashed not to sell chametz to aim would also have on those types of items that have vinegar in America, you'd also have a right, the person would not have to be chashish that it's chametz to aim. In Europe, the majority of alcohol is grain derived, and therefore in Europe, if the product contains vinegar, you would have to be chashish that it's chametz. Malt vinegar is always chametz, because malt vinegar is a beer, is a product of beer production, beer derivative, and which is made from hops, which is one of the chametz aminim. Flour considered to be chametz? If you buy flour in a store, it didn't sell as chametz. So the Mishnah Berurah in Tufnu and Gimel Sifkat and Chavdalet says that it's the darach to wash the wheat before they make it into flour. Today the Metzius is that wheat is unless it's special with the flour, wheat is always tempered. That means that they put the wheat in a water bath, and they usually they have like a screw, so it goes through the water bath at a certain rate, and therefore it becomes, since it sits in the water for an extended period of time, flour you have to treat as chametz. I would think it's chametz daraisa, or at least maybe it's a suffix chametz. I mean, I guess if you're, and the question is maybe if, why would it be the rabbanon? Why would it be the daraisa? I think it's maybe if it's a So if it's a Safek Chametz, so then you, but I don't think that we treat it, it sits in the water, you would assume that it became Chametz. Mishnah Berurah says you treat flowers as Chametz. Pearled barley, I saw on the OK website that they write that pearled barley is not washed, and therefore it's not Chametz. I don't have any independent verification. Whiskey is a big problem. Whiskey is made from Chametz. Now there's a big shayla in the Achronim, there's much to do about whether some poskim wanted to say that whiskey is not Chametz because whiskey is made from distillation, and when you distill, so what happens is you boil it and the vapor boils off and then you reconstitute it. So the Shari Tshuva in Siman Taf Mem Beis Sifat Gimel brings that the Megina Shlomo and others find it that they are smashka is not kimashka, and therefore it doesn't have a din of chametz at all. But Mishnah Berurah writes in Sifat Hay that the Haskamas Achronim, is that whiskey is treated as chametz, so therefore whiskey would have an issue if you want to buy it in a liquor store that deals with that's Jewish owned, there would be an issue of chametz over olav haPesach. One other issue has to do with toiletries like perfume and deodorant, where many hold that there's an issue of that it's not treated as annual royal achila. I spoke to Rybalski about it. He felt that even though normally a person is not going to drink perfume, but it is possible that a person who's a shikar maybe would drink perfume, so you don't treat it as nisam achilas kalav. There is a shayla of whether if they use denatured alcohol, which is there's poisons in the alcohol, is that called any royal achilas kalav? Do you say that since it would kill you, so it's not royal achilas, or do you say that since ikar is holy and how it tastes? So that's a machlokes in the Achrayim, whether denatured or if you add chemicals, whether it's considered the royal achilas, the piskei tshuva, and kafman based kandal being different shitas. But the Maisa, even if you say that denatured alcohol is chametz, but you still have the same leniency that I mentioned before, that most of the alcohol in America comes from kidneys, and the same would be true unless it's some kind of foreign perfume. But if it's an American brand, you could assume it's kidneys, and the same is true with liquid medicines that have alcohol. The alcohol is coming, comes from Rabbi Grossman. Okay, we took the sign off. You can handle that.
It's okay. Right. It's the Shomer Love.
Oh, it's not a lot of Pesach. Okay.
All right. Canada, the same status.
I don't know about it. You know about Canada or Russia? I don't know. Okay. Some more practical shayos about how much of a Pesach. I got a call in the middle of Pesach. A person found he was traveling on Pesach. He took out a suitcase and he found a box of cookies in the suitcase. Is there an isser? Is it chayiv in beer? And if he wasn't mevayeret, does it become? And the question is, are you allowed to mevayeret? It was nichol nemechira, then you're not allowed to be mevayeret. It's not your chametz. It wasn't belong to the guy. If it was not nichol nemechira, he's depleted to mevayeret. Do we say that since you didn't know there was the cookies were in the suitcase, so you never intended to sell it? Or do we say that it's nichol nemechira?
Isn't it the
Shtar HaShoah? The Shtar Mechira, and maybe Shtar HaShoah also, it says in Fayers that we're selling chametz b'chol makom shehu. Whatever the chametz is, it's being sold. I discussed this shayla with Shmuel first from Chicago, and he said that to him it's pashit that it's nichol in the Mechira. And I saw that the Mishnah Berurah and the Bir Halacha and Siman Taf Mem Ches of Gimel the Remasel V'Davar Mu'ad about 10 lines down also seems to say the same thing, that even if you were not mefarid in the shtar, but wherever it is, it's nichlo and the mechira. But there, I saw a tshuva from Moshe Sternbach and the tshuvas from Hamhagos Chelu Beis Siman Reish Chav Ches where he says that you cannot be simeth on that which you write in the shtar, b'chol makom shehu. He doesn't feel that that is, even though we write it the rap to the milsa, but it doesn't, the maisa doesn't work, and therefore he holds that it would be an issue of chamasho of a pesach.
Let's say you don't sell chametz be'ein.
Let's say you don't sell chametz be'ein. So somebody asked me that that question this week also, that he doesn't sell chametz be'ein, exactly that shaila, and he had some soup that his wife made that was made with chametz, and it was in the freezer, and he forgot it was in the freezer and it had barley in it. And now it was after Pesach, and he wants to know, does he have to throw away the soup? So the first thing he asked him was how much barley is. Maybe it was less than kizayis. But he said, no, his wife puts in a lot of barley. So Asher Avigenak asked me this question together with this fellow. So to me, it seems double partial that even though he doesn't sell chametz v'ein, but he wants to sell whatever he has. I mean, people know that they sometimes miss things and they forget things. So he doesn't want to have. I mean, he doesn't know that he has it, but he zifer has in mind or whatever. I mean, even though he doesn't sit there and contemplate, we leave sure I have a barley soup someplace that I can't remember, I want to sell it. But it's like, to me, it's like it understood that the person wants to sell all the chametz that he has. In the Shtar Mechira, when I do a Mechira's chametz with the Rabbanim in Edison, I do what many other Rabbanim do, and that is I write into the Shtar that in case there was any harshah that...
Watch the wire.
In case there was any harshah that was lost, you come to the guy with a stack of papers, just in case there was harshah that was lost, it's also nichlal in the mechira. The reason why I put it in is because every year some shtar appears someplace that, or a lot of the things that we get, I get through email and through faxes. And it's lo yimalei that something gets misplaced or gets lost. So I put it into the feirush in the shtar mechira that we're kaila anybody that had in mind to appoint us as shalitim, we should be they should be nichol in the mechira. A few times in the past where it has happened, I asked Rav Shmuel first, who was a very close Talmid of Rav Moshe, and he said that b'di'eved you could be simach on that. But I did find. Oh, and I did find a tshuva in the Stei Chemed and Chayim Zayin, page 309, talks about this exact case where a person sent a shliach, or a similar case, where he sent a shliach, and with the harshah and the shliach, the roads were closed, he couldn't make it in time to the Rav, and the Rav had written into the shtar that anybody that had intended to appoint him as a shliach should also be looking in the mechira, and he says, b'di'eved, it would help.
In the case of the barley soup, why isn't it nichol in bittul? He's mekvata.
Yeah, bittul, but bittul won't help for a chamash of a pesach. It would be nichol in bittul. It wouldn't help. What about if you thought it wasn't here? Here's a case also comes up. A person goes shopping and they buy a box of matzah and it's sitting in the pesach section, and they assume that it's in the pesach section, it's kosher for pesach, and then. They have a panic attack in the middle of Pesach. They discover that it's chametz tikka matzah because somebody picked up the box someplace and then they decided not to keep it. They put it on the wrong shelf. The first thing is that it's not necessarily chametz tikka matzah, even though the box is not for Pesach use, because the matzah companies start baking matzah for Pesach in Sukkot time, but they don't want you to. They don't want to label the matzahs kosher for Pesach Sukkot time. So therefore, they label them not for Pesach use. So, but they do bake chametz tikka matzah. So you have to. I mean, if the issue comes up ever, you'd have to check with somebody in our office, and we could check the codes. But let's say it was really chametz. So you thought you bought it before Pesach. You thought it was not chametz. Do we say that it was nichol in the mechira? Or do we say that since, because you wanted to sell all the chametz, or do we say that since you thought this particular box is not chametz, you didn't want to sell this box, you thought you were keeping it? Again, I can hear as far both ways, but I asked her first. He thought it's pashut, that it's nichol in the mechira.
Why isn't that exactly like the chametz bein shaila? If you do, you would have wanted to sell it, but you don't know, so you don't want to sell it.
It's worse than the chametz bein, because the chametz bein, the mice, you didn't know that you had it. So if you knew, you wouldn't have sold it. But if you knew that you didn't have it, you would have wanted you. You know that it's possible that you forget, and therefore you want to sell everything that you have. But here your mamish thought that this is a place that you thought you're gonna eat this by the Seder. So you little hedja where you forgot, you didn't know you had it. Here you thought the hedja that it's kosher Pesach. Alright, these are some of the issues. One of the things that we also write, and many rabbis write into the Shtar Mechira, is that we're zaycha for anybody who would have wanted to. We write a series of things. Anybody who wanted to sell his chametz but he forgot should be nifl in the Mechira, and anybody who sold chametz in previous years with us but for some reason didn't do it this year is nifl in the Mechira. And then we're chayil all the Jews. And I live in Raritan Valley, so we require all the Jews in Raritan Valley are nichol in the mechira. And the reason why we're able to do this is based on the principle of zachan me'adam shalal b'fanav. And you know that there's a very big machlokes achrayim whether you say zachan me'adam. Does schia help to take something away from a person? Does schia only help to give it, or does schia help to take away as well? There's a famous chayis by Hafarshas Chal where the chayis says that the Tzai holds that you don't say Zachan Me'adam, but many Achrayim are Chaylik and they hold that Tzchiyah Mitzvah Me'adam does help. It's on Sefer, Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan, and many others. And there are various levels of Tzchiyah when it comes to selling chametz. One level is if you have a person who's Shomer Mitzvah, and it just slipped his mind. I mean, I have this also every year. Somebody shows up at my house 3 o'clock in the afternoon. This year, it happened to me, but Baruch, this year was not a problem because we did a second Mithira at 6 o'clock in the evening because I wanted to accommodate all you companies that were in California, so I made a later Mithira. But somebody shows up at in the afternoon, they completely forgot about making a Mithira. So if the person would have wanted to make a Mithira, but he forgot, so that's the most obvious case where if Sechia May Adam helps, so then it would be a valid Mithira. Then you have a case where the person is not Shomer Mitzvah, so the person eats chametz on Pesach. Do you say, in such a case, do you say Zachan Me'adam? Do you say the person is not a Shomer person because he doesn't care two hoots about chametz? Or do you say that if the person could do it in an Eifin of Hetzer, why should do an Eifin of Yisr? Rav Maisha in Igros Maisha, Arachayim Chel Gal, Simon Kuch Mem Tes, says that he doesn't discuss this issue, but he talks about a non-religious store owner who sells his chametz. So the person, the shayel, was arguing that he's not serious about the mechira because he's not makbid on the hilchos. He eats chametz on Pesach anyway. So Ramesha says that even though he's chashed to be over isurim, but if he could do it in Eichon Petter, why should he be opposed to that? It's only Hanoso that he does it that he's violating Sirim, but where there's no shirt off his back, so to speak, why should it matter to him? And therefore Ramesha holds that it is a valid mechira. So based on that, it would, even for a person who's not Shomer Mitzvah, it would be a schus. But then you even find, let's say the person is under the tzaveach, that he absolutely, positively, he doesn't want the rabbis to sell his chametz. He's totally opposed to this Jewish stuff. So there's the Mikroi Kaish, Rashi Pesach Frank, in Chelek Aleph, Siman Ayin Aleph, says that Hayosid, it's a schus gomer, even if he's under the tzaveach, doesn't matter to us. And you could say Zachan may other.
If you sell the guy's chametz and he eats it, so it's Zachan Gerev. So why is it a schus? We measure which one's the bigger issue.
The Ramesha asked that question. Ramesha didn't talk about the Gavi Stia, but you're asking a question. You're saying, why is it a schus? That's a very good question. You're saying, if he sold it, then he's in the Iver and the Yisra will sigzal. So the pashtus would be that that's not a shayla because like sigzal is not a fee of karas. Bal yirai is a fee of karas. But your shai would be that a sigzal yirai would be a dying. and by Yerah you argue without a Maisa. So maybe an Aver of Yedayim is worse than Aver. What? You're right, by Yerah is not the first. You're right, correct, I'm sorry. You're right. But the Shailas, in other words, the Shailas is once in Isser be a dying. So Ramesh raises that in his tshuva. Ramesh says that maybe it's not a schus. Ramesh didn't say, Ramesh's question is not about stia. Ramesh's question is, well, is it a good idea to sell some of these chametz? He says, maybe you're being mashal him, because if the store sells the chametz and then he continues to operate, so he's going to be, every time he sells the chametz, he's going to violate the sitzol, and he's doing it ayde maisa. So ayde maisa would be worse than bayura, which is shlo ayde maisa. So Ramesh says that by your, the Issa Geneva is only over one time. The Issa Bayura is over at Kesedah. Ramesh is Machiach from the Rishonim, that the Ramesh is just far by the person's a Chayla and he has a choice to eat a Nevela or to do a Shrika. So Ramesh is such a far. It's better to do a Issa one time than to violate many Surim. So Ramesh says, even though the Chaymer Issa maybe worse because Ayde Maisa, but it's a one-time thing. Whereas Bayura would be every moment.
Well, since it's probably even on Pachas Mekizayis, right? Bayura every month is more. Maybe that makes up.
The Sigzal would be even.
Yeah, but he usually has Kizayis.
Of course, there's Bayura within that Kizayis, and every Mashu or Sigzal and Bayura is on.
That's a separate Sigzal.
This is the time makes up for the frequency here. So.
Okay, I hear. That's a good shot. Okay, let's talk about supermarkets. What happens with you sell a supermarket and the supermarket continues to do business on Pesach? Is the Mechira valid, Mechira not? There is a famous Tefuah Shor, it doesn't talk about supermarkets, but the Tefuah Shor in the second parak of Pesach, beginning of the second parak of Pesachim, has a Shaila. A person has a behemoth, and the behemoth eats chametz on Pesach. So even if you would sell the chametz to a guy, but you're having hanah from the chametz by feeding it to your behemah. So the Tefuah Shor says that when he came to the city where he was the rav, he saw that they had a minhag to sell the behemahs for Pesach as well. It says that where he came from, the behemahs used to get sick over Pesach because he couldn't eat the chametz. I guess maybe they gave him some meager diet, and then after Pesach, it would take until like Shavuos till they recovered. But in this city, he saw the behemahs were fat and happy because they would sell the chametz, and they would sell the chametz and the behemahs to the guy. He sold the behemahs as well. So the Tefuah Shor says he doesn't understand why didn't the Kadmoi think of that Eitzah too? Why it's a simple thing to do. So how come the three of the Gedarus didn't do the same thing? So he says that then he realized that it doesn't help such a mechira because. The Atzem Mechiras Chametz, he says, is a harama. Because the guy who's buying the Chametz is an Ani Ve'Avyam. He doesn't have a penny to his name. And you're selling him thousands of dollars worth of Chametz. The truth is that the biggest harama when it comes to Mechiras Chametz is the one that I do together with my Vad. Because I sell all the Chametz for the OU companies. There's a few hundred companies that are selling Chametz. I'm sure that if you add up the value of the chametz, it's probably in the billions of dollars. I said to my Baal Matan Mashiach this week that I don't think from Sheshes and Mebreshes anybody sold as much chametz to a guy as I did as I do on Pesach, because I have all the OU companies and we're the largest organization, so we sell more chametz than anybody else. So here I have this guy who's he washes the floor someplace and he gets a meager salary, and I'm selling him chametz that's worth $5 billion, let's say. So it's a gelechter. So the Tefuah Shor says, she says, why isn't it mechiras chametz a harama? She says, and it is indeed a harama, but he says that since the person makes bittul, so harama helps by the rabbanim. She says that's good if you're selling the chametz, but the behema, there's no bittul on the behema. There's no concept of bittul on the behema. So the gabi the behema, the harama, the mechir would have to be on a level of deraisa. So the harama would have to help on a deraisa. So on a deraisa, he says harama doesn't help. That's the sheet. So the Tefuah Shor says that mechiras chametz is a harama, but nonetheless it's a harama. That works because the bittul makes it knocks it down to the level of the rabbanim. many, many Akronim are followed on the Tua Shor, the Sam Sefer, and the Makor Chaim, I have it, the Samanim and the Maram Bekaim is, the Ayin Yantiv, the Shmasada, many other Akronim, they're following the Sam Sefer, and they Taina, they all Taina the same Taina, that it's hard to disastrate to have a Mechira and Bittel. But if you're making a Mechira, that shows that you're not, that you don't want to move out of that Samas. You can't make the, and even if you say that you make the times when you should make them, should you make the Mechira before the Bittel maybe, even if you make the Mechira after the Bittel, but by making the Mechira, it shows that you don't want the Bittel to be foul on those things that you're making the Mechira on, because otherwise, the two cannot coexist. So, and they basically hold, so what do they do with this kasha, the tarama? They bring various riyas that harama helps even by a daraisa. Nishmas Adam says, and Nishmas he holds not even harama, because even though the guy hasn't got a pruta to his name, but he purchased all that chametz. And the chametz, as when you do mechiras chametz, what you do is you say to the guy gives a dollar for the chametz, and you say to him, that's a down payment. The balance of the value you owe after Pesach. We'll evaluate it after Pesach, and you owe that money after Pesach. So he, even though he has no money, but he has the chametz that's worth the $5 billion. So if he wants to, if he really wants to keep the chametz, he has the right to sell it. Maybe he'll make a profit on it even. And so Mishka Sodom Hope is not a haram. But in any event, the acronym seem comfortable. Except for the Nishma Sodom, who says it's not Harama, but either way, Mechiras Chametz helps by Harama, either because Harama helps even by the Raisa, or according to Tua Shor, Harama helps because you're dealing with a Drabon. Now, when it comes to supermarkets, Luthara are also a Harama, because the person's not Shemir Mitzvos, and he continues to operate his supermarket on Pesach. If he would close the supermarket, it would be one thing, but he continues to operate the supermarket on Pesach. So the Chayra, the fact that he's, if the chametz belongs to the guy, so how could he be selling the chametz to his customers? So the Stei Chemed in Chelet Ches, page 352, writes that if the guy, if a person sells chametz in Shaleach Yad the chametz, so then you say that it's not a valid Mechira. And Ramesh Sternbach has a tshuva, and tshuva is about Hagas, Chel Gavs, and Reish Beches, where he writes the same thing, that the way he expresses it is, the chametz stays where it was. The chametz was on the shelf before you sold it, it's on the shelf after you sold it. So the mechira doesn't mean a thing. It has no meaning. So therefore, he holds it's a harama. And even though, so the Chayas, but mechira's chametz anyway is harama. So the point is that even if you say the Mechiras Chametz is Harama, but this Harama is Harama. They apparently feel that this Harama is just a chukru tulu. It's such an obvious sham and fraud that to sell a supermarket, they find it is not valid. The Ramesh Sternberg adds another interesting story that he says, according to if the reason why Harama helps for Mechiras Chametz is because of the Svarda to assure that Bittel knocks it down to the Rabbanan, so that would not apply to a supermarket owned by a person who's not Shemir Mitzvahs, because he has no Bittel, so he's not dealing with a Deraisa. But the main point is that it's a complete sham, and therefore it's not a valid Mechira. But many, the Yidua and Ramasha in a number of places, in Aruch Chaim and Chelek Aleph, and Chelek Beis, and Chelek Daled, Ramasha says that there is no such umdana that the person does not want to make a mechira, and even though he's not shomer mitzvahs, but what he could do be'hefter, he would rather do be'hefter than do for iser. And even though he's selling the chametz on Pesach, so he becomes a ganav when he sells it, but to the extent that he doesn't sell it, Ramesh holds that the mechira is valid. And the Rav Yaakov Reish and the Tosfos Yaakov in the new version are Chaim Simon Kuf Tzadidala in the old print. Our Chaim Tzad based in Olam et Al also has a similar tshuva like Ramosha, that it's not that the Mechira is a valid Mechira. But what Ramosha says in the Hedra, and there's many people that completely misunderstand the tshuva, even though it's black and white, Ramosha's Lahedra is that the Mechira does not help for the chametz that's acquired on Pesach. He doesn't explain why, but the obvious reason is because you can't sell it, you don't have it. So here in the Dovah Shiloh Balayom, so you can't, the chametz that's acquired during Pesach, you cannot make a mechira on that chametz. So the mechira only helps for the chametz that he had before Pesach, but it's not going to help for the chametz that he has on Pesach. This mechira should be much as tshuva. Now, there are three different ways that various Rabbanim and kashrus agencies have tried to deal with this problem of how to make a mechira that will work even for the chametz that's acquired on Pesach. Because to have a mechira where we don't deal with that seems to make the mechira not very effective. So the first approach was Rabbi Teitz, Lazer Meir Teitz in Elizabeth, who was an Adam Chosher, sells the chametz for Pathmark and ShopRite and Stop and Shop, a number of different supermarkets, and he continues a tradition of his father, Pinchas Teitz Tzal, who used to sell chametz for these stores. At one time, they were all Jewish-owned stores. Now, the stores themselves are not Jewish-owned, but the distributors are Jewish. And he sells for the distributor also, CMS. So Rabbi Teitz will tell you that his mechira helps even for the chametz that they acquire on Pesach. And I discussed this when I first became a rabbi in Edison. I spoke to Rabbi Pinchas Teitz, and he told me that I asked him why. I heard that he feels that way. I asked him, how does the mechira help for chametz that's acquired on Pesach? So he told me that in the Shtar Mechira, it says that the mechira helps for chametz that's sold on Pesach. And you have a copy of the Shtar Mechira on the second page of the Maamar Talmud. And indeed, it says, if you read through it, you'll see that it says that the people, O kibbul hamokrim, hamuvoram bar shoshali, shosharnashim shahir shos, iti, O si gam lunko chemsim shulohayel yadam, bishah shahir shu, O si. Even if they didn't have, when they made a harshah, so maybe you might think he means only with, but now for shas mechira, maybe they have it already. So if you read, continue reading, it says, b'shidu asatzma zeh shibit aguf. And if you read a little bit further, you'll see that he says that even the chametz that comes during Pesach, in the next paragraph, in the next column, you'll see that even the chametz comes during Pesach, till the end of Pesach, all that belongs to the goy. So Rabbi Teitz told me, it says the Shtar Mechira. So how does it work? So he said it works because there's a Shibud Aguf, like it says in the Shtar Mechira, that there's a Shibud Aguf that should be transferred to the goy. I didn't understand what it meant then. I still don't understand. I'm not sure what Rabbi Teitz meant. It's a Dovah Shiloh Balayom. You can't sell a Dovah Shiloh Balayom. So I don't know how it works. Lamaisa, the OU, does not accept that position. We do not consider if you sell a business on before Pesach and it continues to operate on the Pesach, whatever they purchase on Pesach, we would consider as Chametz Shavua of Pesach. Rabbi Teitz was other developer, maybe discussed with Ramayshi, and I don't know. But
when you do it factories,
okay, I'll come to factories. So the second approach is to sell, instead of selling the chametz, you could sell the whole geshef, the whole business. So, and what you gain by that is that by selling the business, and now the business belongs to the guy. So whatever chametz the supermarket purchases, they're purchasing on behalf of the guy. Same guy that what the chametz also buys the whole supermarket. So everything that ShopRite or Stop and Shop or whatever these stores are, they buy on Pesach. It would all belong to the guy because he owns the business.
Is that not like the cows?
What?
Is that not like the cows?
You're right. It would be. Most of the Achrayim don't agree with the Tzur Shor. They hold it to help someone even buy the rice. The problem here is that, again, it becomes a very big harama because if you're really selling the supermarket, so then the guy should get the profit from the supermarket. They do a very brisk business over Pesach, so he should get millions of dollars in profit from owning the supermarket. So Rabbi Belsky has designed a shtar, which it was not only intended for supermarkets, but it was intended for also, if you have a business that's open on Shabbos, sometimes a lot of postmen don't like to do shtarim for shtaros for businesses that are open on Shabbos. For Rebelski, has designed a shtar for, I have certain people in my shul that have businesses where they couldn't be in those businesses if they would have to be totally not operational on Shabbos. If they have a computer business, you have to provide computer support even on Shabbos. So, I mean, if you can't do it, if the halacha doesn't allow it, it doesn't allow it. But Rabowski wrote a shtar, and he has a chop in the shtar like this. The shtar says that the profit and loss accrues to the new owner, to the non-Jewish person who purchases the business. Because obviously it's not only the profit that he gets the loss also. Sometimes a business, even though they could do a very brisk business, but the overhead could exceed the profit. So the profit and loss belongs to the purchaser. After Shabbos or after Pesach, the purchaser has the right to hire an accountant, and the accountant will make a thorough investigation and evaluation of the sales and the overhead and everything, and then based on that investigation, he'll be entitled either to the profit, or if there's a loss, then he has to pay the loss to the seller. In lieu of that, if he doesn't want to undergo that type of process, in lieu of that, he agrees to accept $1 or $5, whatever, in lieu of that type of exercise. Rabbi Belsky told me that he only uses Bishas of Takvado, and in the OU, on rare occasions, we use such a star to sell a business for Pesach. There are certain companies that it was impossible for them to close on Pesach for various reasons. So Bishas of Takvado, we use such a star. The problem with such a star is that it's, even though maybe it's not the tulsa the talula, but it's still a very big harama, and therefore, as big a harama as selling the chametz in the supermarket is, this is a bigger harama to actually sell the entire business, because the guy is not getting any of the profit from the sale. The third approach that the Chof Pei came up with, I think they're still using it. I spoke to somebody there this week. He thought they were still doing this. And that is as follows. They write into the shtar that any chametz that's acquired on Pesach is being acquired on behalf of the goy. So that when the Jews who own the supermarket buy chametz on Pesach, they're buying it on behalf of the goy. Now the problem is that you can't be a shliach for a goy. There's no shliach for an akum. So how could they be buying chametz for the goy? So they came up with a chaf. The Machan Ephraim says in Hilchos Shluchim that if you hire a guy to do work for you, then the work that he does for you is considered to be as if you did it yourself, not because of Shlichus, because no Shlichus Lachdom, but based on the principle Yad Poel Kiyad Baal Bayis. He says this in Gabe a mic. If you hire a non-Jew to build a mic for your roof, you can make a bracha, because even though there's no shlichus, but it's considered like he did it, because Yad Poel Ki Yad Baal Bayis. The Pesuk Tshuva brings it down in the end of Pesach Mishpat, it's in the Tafel of Zayin. So based on that, they want to say that they consider the workers in the supermarket who are buying chametz to be poelim for the guy, and therefore, based on Yad Poel Ki Yad Baal Bayis, that's how the mechir would operate. Rebelsky was very strongly opposed to it, because he says you can't make somebody into a pile the same way that you give a name by a bris. You have to pay the person wages. You can't just say you're my pile. Otherwise, he said every time a shliach was lakum, why don't you just say, okay, I'm not a shliach, I'm a pile. So Rebelsky does not hold of that method of mechira. But obviously other poskim were comfortable with it. And Rabbi Kites started to write into his Star Mathira the same thing as well. Rabbi Belsky and I spoke to Rabbi Kites, and we asked him if he could use Rabbi Belsky's Musaf or Star Mathira, where he would be able to sell the whole Geschäft. And he tried, in fact, to do that, but the companies didn't want to sell their whole business to the guy, so he wasn't successful. Are we gross? What's our time frame? It's time for question and answers. Another few minutes? Ayel doesn't mind? Okay, I'm coming almost to the end. Now, distributors at the store, every store gets things from distributors. So you have to, if you purchase in a store, you have to make sure that the store owner knows that enough to realize that he has to get from a distributor who's either not Jewish or a distributor that sold his hummus. There are Jewish distributors. The two most famous Jewish distributors, one is Krasdell, that's owned by Charles Krasna, who they think is a Yid. And the other one is CNS. CNS stands for Cohen & Siegel. CNS is the largest distributor for food items in the Northeast. And they distribute all over, up and down the Northeast. So one has to be sure that the distributor is not CNS. Now, CNS has created big problems for all of us, because it used to be that the supermarkets, when I came to New Jersey, all the major supermarkets were owned by Yidden. Then slowly, the Yidden sold out to Dutch firms and different companies. So all the supermarkets became non-Jewish supermarkets. So everybody was happy. You could go into any supermarket after Pesach and buy hummus. But then we discovered, I think it was Mr. Herman, maybe it was Magalit, that many of the supermarkets get their hummus from CNS. And therefore, even though the supermarket is owned by Goyim, but if they're getting the hummus through CNS, so whatever hummus CNS has is going to be a problem. Now, every types, not only does he sell the supermarkets, but he sells the hummus for CNS also. But again, the problem is that only helps the Gabe, the hummus that they have before Pesach. But the hummus that they acquired on Pesach, if you don't hold like Rabbi Pipes, that you could sell chametz that with a shibud of guf that comes on Pesach, or if you don't hold the Yad Pog Yad Bal Bayis idea, so then would come out is that whatever chametz CNS acquires on Pesach would belong to, or would be chametz shalav HaPesach. Then the question becomes very complicated. That is, how long does it take for the chametz that CNS acquires on Pesach to get to the store? When do you assume that the store is getting that chametz? All this is shrouded in mystery. Nobody knows exactly. There's different theories. I spoke to some of the people in the supermarkets. They told me it takes about a week and a half, 2 weeks, but nobody knows. And it also probably depends on the different items. Now, the shaila is also, are we only worried about the chametz that CNS purchases on Pesach? Pashtus, that's all that we're concerned about, because the chametz that they had before Pesach was sold to the Goyim. So the only chametz we have to worry about is what they acquired on Pesach. That being the case, it should be, so let's say Pathmark, their chametz comes from CNS. That's one of their primary suppliers. So the day after Pesach, you should be able to go to Pathmark and not worry, because since they're getting from CNS, whatever CNS had before Pesach is okay. That was sold by Rabbi Tice. That was a Baal Mechira. The issue is only the chametz that arrived on Pesach. It probably takes more than a week for them to deliver the chametz from their warehouse. But the problem is that the reason why that's not necessarily true is because CNS takes the chametz that they had that belonged to the, they sold the chametz to the guy. Now, let's say they delivered that chametz on Pesach to the supermarket. So when they deliver it to the supermarket, they become ganavim. And the ganav places this himself from a daf chavtes. A ganav, if you're ganav on Pesach from a guy, you're over by your rav by your matze, because since you're chayiv machrayis, so therefore you're over by your rav by your matze. So therefore, if they deliver the chametz on Pesach, so it comes out that they're over by your rav by your matze, and therefore after Pesach, it would be a problem. Even the chametz delivered on Pesach would be problematic. I had a long discussion with this Rebbe Belsky a bunch of times. Rebbe Belsky had some svaras that maybe they're not going to love him for various reasons, but Ramesha clearly says that they're going to love him. Ramesha says that the truth we talked about before, Ramesha says that if the supermarket sells the chametz and then continues to operate on Pesach, Ramesha says he's over by Yirah, he's a Ghana, and he's over by Yirah. That's what we talk about, whether is it better to be over by Yirah or better to over a Sigzal. So Ramesha says that he's a ganav, and he's over by Yura when he sells the chametz. He's over by Yura, and that's chametz as well. So Yura, the problem becomes whatever chametz CNS delivers on Pesach, or whatever chametz they acquired on Pesach, is the problem of by Yura. So then the big question becomes, so how long does all this take to filter out of the system? By the time they buy it till it goes through the supermarket, the chametz that they have, that they delivered on Pesach, and the chametz that they purchased on Pesach, how long does it take? So 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks. So nobody really knows for sure. Like I said before, I discussed with Rebelsky one time, and this is what some rabbanim hold, is that since nobody really knows exactly, so we should be matter everything with Safik Rabbanim Lekula. Because since I mentioned before that Safik Chomesh Ova Pesach, Rav Moshe clearly holds that he seems to be mafia like the Mekilim, that it's Mutter. So since we don't know for sure whether the Chametz was the supermarket itself was Goyim. So this is just the part to get from CNS. And when did they get it? It's a Safik, so you could be Samech on the Safik and be Mekil. Rebelsky didn't want to be Samech on the Safik for two reasons. First, he said he doesn't think it's, at a certain point in time, he doesn't think it's really a Safik. There's a certain window where you can't consider it much of a Safik. And the other thing is that he felt that it's, that he said that the Mishnah says in Hilchos Sefiras Seimer, in the Tuf Bei Tes, Sifkat Yudalad, that you're completely not Samech on Safik Rabbanu Lekula. By the Mishnah says, and the Mishnah Berurah is quoting, I don't know if he remembers the quote, but the Ran says at the end of Psalm that you shouldn't count Vein HaShmashes, because even though Spirit Summer is Rabbanan, you shouldn't be machmis yourself into a situation you've been Samech on the Safek de Rabbanan. So therefore, Melsi said that why should we be purchasing Chametz based on the din of Safek de Rabbanan Lufula, you're being machmis yourself into a Safek. I thought that maybe you could think so for Rebelsky. I didn't ask him this, but I thought that maybe you could recall, because it could be the reason why the Ran holds that you're not machmis yourself into a Safek by Safek Rabbanan is because it's like the din of Eshu Ruvuri. By Rabbanan, you don't say Rabbanan Kula, the Paisim say it's Eshu Ruvuri, you don't say Safek Rabbanan Kula. So it's Eshu Ruvuri in the case of Sirius Omer, it's similar to Eshu Ruvuri, because if you wait a half hour, you can count the Torah's father. So what do you have to count with Safek? You can count father. But in the case of supermarkets, it's never Eshu Ruvuri. If you won't buy, you won't buy. I mean, you can wait until next week, but this week you won't be able to buy there. So, but anyway, Rebelsky wasn't comfortable with Safek Rabbanan Lekula, and he also wasn't sure whether it is a Safek Rabbanan.
Also, if you're going to buy every couple of days, at some point if you're sure going to get Chamesh Ova Pesach. So if you go one time,
so but each time you have a right to.
Yeah, but over the course of a month, you definitely got something that wasn't good.
Yeah, so what, you have similar cases in your day, no? We're over the course of time, each time you're able to be signed up on Safek Lekula. I don't know. Anyway, that's the issue here with the supermarkets. The other thing is, we're not even sure how much CNS supplies to these places. That's the other big question, because there's a famous report that Mr. Herman prepares. Mr. Herman, we should call maybe Rabbi Herman, he's the one that has done the great amount of work investigating Yashan. And he writes, he has a long report about supermarkets where he has a list of supermarkets that he says these supermarkets get product from CNS. I don't know, I asked him once, where did you get it? How do you get that information? He says he has his sources, he investigates it. The CNS has a website, and on their website they have a list of suppliers. Of customers that they supply. So they have a list of around 10 different stores. So to me, and I asked Rebelsky was masking. To me, it would seem the stores that they have on their website, you could assume that probably a very significant amount of comments goes to those stores. But the stores not on the website, so even if they supply, maybe they only supply 2% or 5%, I don't know. So Rebelsky thought that not on the website, we don't have to be chayshish. Maybe Mr. Herman doesn't pass it, he's just telling you information. But in Boston, look, it's not on their website, so then we don't have to be chayshish that they're getting enough chametz to be a problem. The other thing is that Mr. Herman, his report, identifies stores that have a Jewish-sounding manager. He has Jewish names, so he says a Jewish-sounding manager. Now, what does it matter if it's a Jewish-sounding manager? What it matters is because Rav Moshe in Eben Ezra's Chelek Aleph Siman Zayin writes that if a person buys stock in a company, even if he doesn't own the majority of the company, but he buys enough So then we treat it like a Jewish owned business. We're not just writing about Shabbos, but we've said to Ramesh, the same thing about Pesach. So if you have a guy who owns enough stock in the company that when he comes to the board of director meetings, then his voice carries more weight than other people, so then Ramesh would hold that it's considered Chametz Shutvis of a Yid, and therefore it would be a problem of Chametz Shalva Pesach. So Mr. Herman identifies people that have Jewish sounding names, and then presumably, I mean, I discussed it very much this week, so there's a company like Costco. I get 10 million calls about Costco. Costco, the chairman of the board is Jeffrey Brockman. Jeffrey Brockman is a Jewish sounding name, because Jeffrey is a Jewish sounding name. I did my own research on the web, and I found that not only does he have a Jewish sounding name, but he is Jewish. He used Jewish philanthropies and everything, so he's a Yid. So I discussed with Rogalski, how much do we have to be cautious that he in fact owns, because if he's a chairman without owning stock, so then it's not a problem. Just because you're a chairman doesn't mean anything. You know, just because you're a director doesn't mean anything. It's only, Rabbi Shimon says, if you own enough that they're mishashiv with your day, so then it becomes a problem. So Rabbi Shimon thought, he says, from Stam, that you don't become the chairman unless you own stock. So you can assume that he owns a significant amount of stock. I spoke to somebody from the Starcade, to Rabbi Heber. On the Starcade website, it says the Costco is okay. So I asked him, I spoke to Rabbi Rosen. I said, what about Jeffrey Brotman? So he spoke to one of the Neuburgers, and who was in the business world, who said that he knows the structure in Costco, and he knows that this fellow, Jeffrey Brotman, doesn't own any stock. He's a hired employee, and he's the director, but he's a paid employee, but he doesn't own stock, and he doesn't have a significant share in the stock of the company. So I'm just illustrating to you the level of uncertainty that exists with all these things, trying to figure out whether it's Jewish owned, but based on people that have Jewish sounding names, or the fact that they get comments from. See, I'll give you another example. He has a Walmart, is supplied by CNS, and again, I spoke to Terry Rosen from the Star K. They have Walmart as an okay place to buy. So he says because he knows the company Walmart. Walmart, every single vendor in America has an office. I forget where Walmart's located, out in the Midwest someplace. But Walmart controls their vendors. The vendors, if Walmart says jump 10 feet, they jump 10 feet. They're so meshubit to what Walmart wants. And he says they distribute directly to Walmart. They're not going to go through, at least that was his opinion, they're not going to go through CNS. I personally don't know if that's true or not true, but the fact is that Walmart doesn't appear on the CNS website. It appears in Mr. Herman's list. So maybe you get some comments, but again, it becomes a big suffering. Let me just let me just make one more point about businesses, and that is that there's a tshuva from the Zeche Yitzchak where he says that if there's a Jewish partnership and the majority of the partners though are Goyim, you say Bittul Baroyim on Bayis. It's a big Kiddush. It's in Zeche Yitzchak Siman Ches. This is relevant to ShopRite, because ShopRite, or it used to be anyway, ShopRite, there's two parts to ShopRite. There's the stores, and then they have a co-op called Wakefern. Wakefern delivers all the products to the stores. Wakefern is owned by all the store owners. So there's about 1,000 ShopRite stores. Those owners are Shufim in Wakefern. So Rabbi Aida Zatzal was Mevar many times that the majority of the owners of ShopRite are Goyim. So Rabbi Eider always used to tell me that based on this, he said this, according to Zeche Yitzchak, he would say Bittul Baroyim, and therefore would not be a problem. And he said that Rav Aaron also held the same way, that he said Bittul Baroyim on ownership. Rav Moshe does not seem to hold that way, because Rav Moshe mentioned before, he holds that if you own Midah Merubah Kol Kach Ad Sheyishkashu V'Daito, it's considered Jewish owned, you don't say that it's Bittul Baroyim. But Rabbi Eider thought that it's a maflaikus Ramesh with Rav Aaron doing something Rabbanan. What he felt was that he could be Mekel, and he's Tatsavi Rabowski. He wasn't so sure. He wasn't sure that Rav Aaron was talking about this type of situation. So, but Rabowski told me this year, Rabbi Beck made a tikkun gadol by ShopRite, and he arranged for all the all the Rebekah's Ashkach and Shaprite in Borough Park. So he arranged that all the Jewish owners of Shaprite sold their chelek in Wakefern to the Goyim, and they also wrote a tzav, like a siluk or a maidah, that any chametz that comes in on Pesach will accrue to the Goyim. So here the maila here is when you have a non, when you don't have a Jewish partner, so if you're going to sell the chametz to the guy, you can't say, then we have a problem that if you continue operating on Pesach, you can't say the chametz accrues to the guy, because that's what we discussed before. How does it accrue to the guy? You can't be shliach for the guy. And Yadvog, Yadbal, Bayis, only if you're real pile. But if there's non-Jewish partners, so then it's much easier to create such a structure, because they're in operation anyway, so you just say that whatever the company continues to purchase on Pesach will be purchased on behalf of the guy. I don't want any part to it. Rybalski thought that that was... Rabbi Beck did it in consultation with Rybalski and thought it was 100%. The one last thing about stores is that if you have a store and you don't know what the status is, so then the question you have to check, you have to find out. You say, no, you don't know, it's Jewish owned, not Jewish owned altogether. There's so many different supermarket chains. People call me every day with different names, national distributors. Fresh Express, somebody called me all yesterday. Rabbi Schachter held in one of the posts in our office. The place can say, I have a bunch of marmakomas that by Efshevidruri by Yisavid Rabbanan, you don't see Yisavid Rabbanan before, you have to Mivara. But it's only if it's Efshevidruri Bekal. Stay Chemet writes that from the Gadam. So he thought that an hour is considered Efshevidruri Bekal. If you could find out in an hour whether it's a Jewish owned Geshef, then it's called Efshevidruri Bekal. So that would mean that you would have to do research for an hour. And now, you don't have internet access, probably all the research you do is worthless, because you're not going to, how do you find it? With the internet, sometimes, you know how to use it, sometimes you can figure out what's going on. But, if a person has no way to find out, so then it's not actually the very Bekal. So then if you don't know if it's a Jewish-owned store, then you say something to the Lechor. Last point, I'm tying up in 2 seconds, and that is, somebody asked, what did we do with the Jewish-owned companies that the OU certifies? So you have the four different approaches to Jewish-owned companies. So that is, the primary approach that the OU uses is that we close the business. We tell them they have to close. You want to be certified by the OU, you can't operate on Pesach. You can't purchase chametz, and you can't manufacture chametz. Because if you manufacture, it'll be kind of with Chinui. They'll be kind of have a king and gezel. They'll be over by Europe. So we 99.9% of the time we have the businesses closed. In rare occasions, I mentioned before, we sell the entire business and we rely on our Rebelsky Star. Third approach, some of the other conscious agencies, the FK, maybe some others, rely on Yad Poyok Yad Baal Bayis, that whatever is purchased on Pesach accrues to the guy. And the fourth approach is what I just mentioned about ShopRite, is that if there's a non-Jewish partner, then you could engineer a sale where the yid sells out to the guy, and then the business could continue operating in that fashion. Just to close with a machshava, many times I saw in Sfarim that even though Chazal have various reasons for all their takanos, but there are oftentimes other reasons that Chazal had in mind that they were not necessarily Megala Lahedja. And one could perhaps say that Chomesh of a Pesach, in addition to the idea of a Knas, one could say that Chomesh of a Pesach, what it does is it's Mamshif, the time of Pesach, into, as we take leave of Pesach, and the goal is always to have to be inspired in a way that have a Cyrus that does not just diffuse itself after a few moments, but to continue and linger on, much in the same way of the concept of Emeftir after Pesach, Avi Feynman, they should have Tam Atzibut, the Rashbam says. So similarly, Chazal wanted that there should be, the Tam of the Pesach should be Nimshach. So in the Chomesh of the Pesach, Imamish, Imamshach, for weeks after Pesach, we're still tumbling and handling and all the issues of Hilchos Pesach, and in that way we're able to be Mamshach, the Tam of Pesach, into the course of the year. Yeah.
If we're saying that one of the reasons Harama works by the Kirs Chametz is because he's been in Vata also, right? Or what kind of bitl is this? You have a whole bakery and he locks up his doors and he's being Vata, it's Hefka. Anyone that's going to come will call the police on them right away. What kind of bitl is that?
What kind of bitl are you doing in your house?
It's worthless to you. So if someone's coming and he's going into the inventory of Chametz and he's not breaking in.
Because you want to be in compliance with the Yatar, and you're petrified by your Avaya Matzei, so you attack the field. That's one of the reasons why you shouldn't say that Avaya casting the Mivara, because we're afraid that you're not Mivata Balei Shalom. Well, you have to do Badika after, not Badir, you have to do Badika Aransas, I think.
Right.
That you're afraid of the rest of the
nation. Yeah, but over here, where he's locking the store, he's not safeguarding everything, and anyone's going to come and try to steal anything or run after them.
I hear. Okay.
Hey, Bishop Branson.
Why?
Bishop Branson, was that later distributed by CNS?
Anybody could get from CNS. They're not limited.
CNS sell. They sell these brands.
I don't know. Do they sell? Do they sell the Hamish products? I don't know. I doubt it. I don't know. I would doubt it. They probably, the Erasmus cookies probably is not coming from CNS, but I don't know for sure. Yes.
What is the window of real suffering? How many weeks?
I tell the people in my shul that they should wait until Lag BaOmer. You want to know how we figured out Lag BaOmer? It was like eeny miny mo. We made our show. We decided to go the 3 weeks after Pesach, so it's a little bit more than 3 weeks. So. Based on my discussion with Belsky, we thought the Lag BaOmer was adequate.
And Krasdale was, you mentioned before, but they didn't follow.
I don't know. You mean who gets from Krasdale? Krasdale, I think, supplies more of the smaller stores, the local stores.
That's also a problem. Because
Krasdale is a problem, yeah.
How about the supermarket brands?
The supermarket brands? That's a good point. I don't know how it works. The supermarket brands, you would think, goes through the supermarket and not through CNS, but not necessarily. I don't know, because the supermarkets don't make their own brands. ShopRite does not make their own potato chips or their own tuna fish. They go to a regular company and they say pack. It's called a private label. So. It could be the same way the in-house label goes to CNS, maybe the private label. So I don't know. I thought about that, but I don't know. I don't know what this is.
The frozen markets and groceries, they are inside the decade, CNS or whatever?
You have to ask them. I mean, I don't know if CNS sells to small stores. I mean, they can get from France, though. There's other kosher distributors. Yeah, Jewish.
We assume that the from supermarkets and groceries.
You can't assume anything about from people. That's a call brother. The fact that the guy's from, I live in New Jersey, but I know in New York, you know, there's a, I'm not criticizing anybody, but there's a style of deciding whether something is kosher based on everybody buys there. And that is just nonsense. I mean, I've been in places where people are eating things. I was on a plane once and everybody was eating the bagels. I couldn't believe it. They're all eating the bagels. Everybody else was eating the thing. I mean, you know, people just don't, they don't investigate, and they don't look at, and the fact that a person is Shomer Shabbos does not mean, you have to, you know, there's a lot of ignorance. People don't know, and maybe they're well-intentioned, but you have to ask them. You have to ask the Baal Bus, where's he getting stuff from? You can't just assume because he's Shomer Shabbos. I don't buy the loose cake that's in the stores. I mean, I don't eat cake anyway at my age, but I wouldn't buy loose cake. I don't know where it's coming from. It's not packaged, not wrapped, not anything. It's just sitting there and the people coming in. I like to rely on Hashkafa. I don't like to rely on the, you know, so. But look, if the guy's an Arab guy, I'm not saying you can't. I'm just pointing out that people need to be a little more Zahir. Even though the person is Shomer Shabbos, you have to talk to them because some people don't know. They don't know what standards are good. They might buy from Hashkafa, but it's not a good Hashkafa. You have to check with them. Where did the donuts come from? What's the store that it's coming from? You can't just assume because it's wearing a yarmulke.
Should they all have a list?
OU does not have a list. I discuss this a lot of times. We get a lot of calls. I prepare a list that I warn Atara Kulam because I don't want to distribute it. One year I made the mistake of emailing the list to one person in the OU, and the list ended up being posted on what they midrashim and shuls around America. And I don't want to be the one to take the prize for making all that. I mean, you see how much everything is uncertain and unclear. I prepare a list based. I write out the list. This is the best that I can figure out. I give it to the person at the front desk in the OU who answers the questions. I said, don't show it to anybody, but if people call up, you could say that Rabbi Lubian thinks, based on the best information he has, that these stores are okay. And I don't have a lot of stores. I only have the stores that I'm more comfortable with. There's a lot of stores. Like Costco, I don't know. I'm going to leave it out of the list because I'm not 100% sure what to do with it.
You hear from a lot of Rabbanim that people have to pay attention by some fruit from stores. Is that an accurate thing? Or not necessarily?
Why should they buy from stores?
They say it's a mitzvah, exactly. They're saying, Austin, Tucker Charlotte, the fashion shop.
If you have a store that's for sure non-Jewish and you know that he's getting, like Acme, in my I thought everybody go to Acme. Acme does not get from CNS, and they're not Jewish. I don't see any reason not to go to Acme. But
you're in a place where all the stores have problems. Let's say all the supermarkets. Is it less problematic?
If it's a rough person and the person has no modest by you.
But you have a problem with the supplier still.
Yeah, again, you have to talk to him. That's the whole point. You can't assume. You have to ask the fellow, where is he getting the cumbers from? How's it arriving?
Can I assume that all your restaurants sold their cumbers on Pesach?
Sure.
I'm
in big trouble.
So you're saying you assume any Hefsher?
If you could rely on the Hefsher for Halayim and Machal Sasuras and other things, you could rely on
the Hefsher.
That's part of the other Akhara. I've encountered a sharing where people give a Hefsher to a bakery and they don't take challah and they say, well, I'm not right for the challah. The fact is that not only is it not for a cow, but the rest of the hash is not worth too much either. I mean, if you're giving a hash, you have to take care, you have to be a priority for the whole thing. You can't give a hash and only give it 50%. That's a joke.
The factory's manufacturing comment stops in 7 days?
If it's a Jewish-owned factory, they stop, yeah. I got a call from a guy in Cherry Hill, Eric Pesach. He was so upset. He walked into the shop right, and he saw Chal Moed. He walked into the shop right, and he saw fresh challah rolls on the shop right brand. And he said they're so soft you could smell them that they must have been just baked. So he says why are they baking on Pesach? So I said maybe it's a non-Jewish company. He said even if it's non-Jewish, but why do you let challahs are, who buys challahs? They're not the Koreans, the challahs are for the Yidden. So why are you letting a place buy baked challahs on Pesach? So I investigated it. I mean, I thought he had a valid point. It was a Jewish-owned bakery, and they were closed. It was fresh because they have enough preservatives to keep it fresh, but they were closed the entire Pesach. They shut down.
I just want to water park shop. I'm calling good Pesach, and your cookies come back in the place. I spoke to it out to my family.
Okay, pretty good.
Zion or Tess?
Like a
Zion or Tess?
It's about pharmaceuticals.
Right.
Vitamins.
I don't think there's. I mean, there's enough fakers that I don't think that's a problem.
Thank you very much for a terrific comprehensive share of this idiot.